Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new podcast episode, and this time with another interesting guest, Jennifer Flowers. And yeah, you heard that right. Flowers is her real last name. So,
hi,
how are you doing?
Everybody. I am doing great. And how are you doing?
I'm fine. Everything is good. How is the situation there where you live? Tell the people quick where you live and, I mean, which state and how it is there and the life right now.
So I live in the United States. I live in Connecticut. Currently, the U.S. is having a bit of a COVID crisis, to put it mildly. My state in particular is in great shape. My governor was very strict with his regulations, so we have it really under very good control. I live about an hour north of New York City, which was the epicenter of COVID. And in New York City, they have it under pretty good control now as well. It's mostly the southern states. It's getting the southern states are getting slammed now, and the Midwest.
Yeah, I heard that a lot, especially like California and these big states where a lot of people are. And that's why for some people who listen to Joe Rogan and all these other big comedian and podcaster, a lot of them want to leave. They want to leave in different states because I also heard after that they want to raise up the taxes for the people in California.
I don't understand how those people could possibly pay higher taxes, but
me too, yeah.
California is terrible. It's a beautiful state. I've been there several times. I've been there several times, but their taxes are just astronomical. I couldn't live there.
Is it more than 50%?
I'm gonna say I believe so. I don't live there, but I think it's almost 52%.
That's a lot. I mean, in Germany, if you're rich, like for example, we talk about soccer players and millionaires, they pay 42%, and so
that's
the highest.
It's not 52% of somebody's salary. That's, you know, the U.S. doesn't. It's not that high, but it's what it is you're paying property tax, you pay federal income tax, state income tax. When you add all of those in California, it's very high. Your tax rate is very high. I would have to look it up specifically to be sure, but I'm sure it's one of the highest.
Yeah, no wonder all with all these Hollywood glamour people and
yes,
movies and everything. So that's why they want to do it probably. But yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're doing good. And tell people a little bit about your cities, your state, how it is, so people have a clue about where you live. Not just the situation with Corona, but in general, what can people see there if they want to visit that area one day, maybe?
Oh, well, I live in Connecticut. I live in a town called Danbury. It's about 5 minutes from the New York border. I actually grew up in New York. If you were to come to the United States, most people like to come to New York, California, Florida. Those are big destination spots for especially people from Europe. Those are big tourist spots. If you come to New York, definitely come to Connecticut. We have great hiking and trails. I'm really a big fan of hiking and being outdoors. I have two dogs. I love hiking with them. There's lots of nice wineries if wine is your thing. There's lots of those in New York as well. We have nice beaches as well. I mean, they're
yeah,
not
that's
gonna
what
be.
People probably always want, nice nature, something for hiking, beach,
yeah,
forest, maybe.
I mean, the beaches definitely aren't as nice as Florida's beaches are going to be. Florida, they have like that crystal clear blue water, but we have nice beaches too. I go to the beach every Saturday. That's like my favorite day of the week in the summer. So I love it. We have a little bit of everything, and we have great, great food. That's the other thing. Delicious food.
Good. That's always interesting for people like me or for athletes, because you want to have great food, but at the same time, healthy food. And I think that's always important for us.
Yeah, it's depending on what you eat. My diet is pretty much a pescatarian. I basically eat fish, and I don't eat red meat or pork or veal at all. And I'll eat chicken once in a while, but very, very rarely. So basically, if you just stick to, fish and veggies, I think that you're going to be pretty good in your diet. My downfall is like pizza. So especially in this area, it's delicious. So I really do try not to eat it very often, but if I'm really craving it, you got to give in and just have a piece of pizza every now and then,
I mean,
once you're,
if just once a month or whatever,
I
every
don't even
few
eat it
weeks.
that
Yeah, you
often.
see, so then
Yeah.
it's okay.
No, we're talking like maybe once every 3 or 4, 6 months. It's fine.
Well, that's totally fine if it's not even in a year. I mean, that's totally fine. People, when they will later check your Instagram, they definitely can see you in a great shape. And also the way you eat is very interesting. So it's like almost a Japanese form of diet because Japanese people eat a lot of fish and they eat basically almost all vegetables existing. Of course, they eat also some rice and other carbs, but they eat definitely different than Chinese people. They eat so much food from the sea.
I agree. And it's funny you say that. I went to Southeast Asia in January. I went to Thailand. I was there for about a month. And I love the Thai food was delicious. It's like one of my favorites. And most people gain weight on vacation. I actually lost weight on vacation because they eat so healthy. And it's, they don't like in America, they give gargantuan size portions. So I know if I order something out, I'm gonna like bring it home and have two more meals out of it. But in Thailand, they give you just the perfect amount and you eat and you're full and but not stuffed. It's delicious. And they have healthy food too. They eat a lot of meat, fish, and chicken, but mostly I just stuck with fish and it was delicious.
Okay, can you explain to people maybe short what your diet form is and how did you come up with that or trying that out?
Well, I was okay. When I was younger, I was a ballerina. So when this is actually a great story. This is a good question, and you didn't even know that it was going to go in this direction. So I grew up in New York. So when I was 7, my dad took me to see the circus, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. And when you're 7, it's exciting. But I came out and there were these PETA people. The PETA people are the people for the ethical treatment of animals. And they were outside the circus showing basically hidden footage of what happens to the circus animals behind the scenes. And then explaining, they were actually also showing footage on, they had TV set up of the dairy industry and the meat industry. And I remember like the 7-year-old kid watching this with like these big eyes. And then I looked at my dad. I'm like, Dad, I don't think I'm going to eat meat anymore. And
Oh,
so,
that
yeah. And so this 7-year-old, basically became a self-proclaimed vegetarian. As you know, I wasn't super strict until I was in my 20s. But I barely ate red meat. It just sometimes I would cheat and have like pepperoni on pizza. I was a teenager. But for the most part, I didn't eat like I grew up Italian, so I didn't eat meatballs anymore, none of that. So when I was in my 20s and I became a full-fledged vegetarian, it was a great diet, but I started to actually gain weight in my later 20s and I realized I'm like, I'm eating too many carbs and not enough protein.
Yeah,
So,
that's always the issue with a lot of people out there
correct.
listening with they eat less
So,
protein.
yeah. So the thing is, you can be vegan or vegetarian and you can be healthy, but you got to be strict about what you're eating. So, and I mean, that's the problem is most vegans and vegetarians will eat too many carbohydrates. Wait. And for me, I do it for the animals. I'm very big on animal rights. However, I also want to be healthy and be lean. And that's very important to me, not just for my yoga practice, and for appearance wise, but for health. So then I added fish back into my diet and the weight just like fell off. So that's how I came up with my diet now. I'll eat rice sometimes, but I try not to eat that much of it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. As soon as people eat more protein than they do, especially what I see with women, because women tend to eat less protein than men. And of course, it has to do also with weight difference and everything. I get it, but with women, sometimes they don't even eat 1 gram protein per pound or per kilo. So, and
right.
because of that, as soon as they eat, as maybe double up the protein or almost double it up, then suddenly they start losing weight. That's what I always also tell all the women when they don't lose weight, but they don't want to listen or they're too afraid with the food. I don't know. You probably know these stories.
I think everybody and everybody, you know, we'll use both phrases, is different. However, for me personally, I pack on weight when I eat carbs, too many carbs. So when I cut them out, you know, or cut out the unhealthy ones, at least I maintain my weight. And that's the trick for me. So I don't eat sugar. I don't eat refined carbohydrates, pasta. I never eat it. Ever. I don't like it really. I don't crave it. So everyone has their weakness. My weakness is bread, but I try to stay away from it. It's once I eat one piece, that's it. It's like I've opened the floodgates and then so, I'm craving carbohydrates. So it tells, well, because it simulates your glucose, your sugar levels.
Yes, true.
So if you stay away from it, you don't crave it. And then I do buy low carb bread actually. I can make it, but why bother? I buy it online and have it sent to me. So if I'm really craving like a sandwich or something or bread, I have it. They even have low carb bagels that are delicious. Am I allowed to say brands on your podcast?
Yeah, sure. Why not? You can do whatever you want. Maybe they will hit us up and
oh, perfect. Well, I like thin, slim foods. I think it's only in the United States if any of the listeners are from the US. But I love them. I mean, yes, I get it. It's not a bagel from New York City. We know that. But if you're really having a craving for a carb, that's what I eat. And it's literally like 1 gram per bagel. One gram.
That's good. So there you found your options. And I think it's always when you eat, you have to also enjoy what you eat. That means I know a guy who is very ripped and some people who are listening might know him as well. He Athlene X from that big YouTube channel. He has over 10 million subscribers and is a great therapist and fitness coach. But he eats almost every day to his breakfast. On top of it, when he has his oats, a little bit of whipped cream. And so people will say, oh, that's crazy. But yeah, he eats so healthy. And that's his little cheat. And it has only 200 something calories. And by that amount, what he trains, it definitely burns off anyway. So that means you can eat sometimes a thing which is not the best healthy option, but as long as you enjoy it and you stick to your diet or to your healthy lifestyle, it will not affect you in a bad way.
For sure. That's what I found. A lot of people have asked me that also. I'm going to say flat out, it's 90% diet.
Yeah, I would say sometimes. Sometimes I even come up with 100%, 100%.
Yeah,
you're right.
For sure. One of my girlfriends has said it. She's like, well, I work out every day. I'm like, yes, but you drink soda and you eat pasta. That's, you know, that's I can't stand soda personally. Diet or regular, I think it's gross. I drink water all day long. That's the healthiest thing I do. And my diet's pretty healthy. But if you're actually, you can exercise for 3 hours a day. And then after the gym, if you're going and knocking it back with soda and eating a plate of pasta, it's, you've just basically destroyed everything that you just accomplished at the gym.
True. Yeah. People mess it up with the diet because some people after training, they're so hungry, they could eat like a whole lamb and then they eat so much because their body's like starving and want more, more, more. But they don't know how to cook, they don't know how to eat, and then it's a problem. So I like that you eat a lot of fish and vegetables. So you probably go also eating in more in fish restaurants or seafood restaurants or eat sushi, right?
Yes, I do. I do. I love sushi. Most restaurants will have fish in this area. They'll have fish in like almost every type of restaurant. I haven't really been going out to eat that much because of COVID. So usually if I do get something, I order out and then bring it home. So for the listeners, like, I don't think everyone understands how strict the restrictions were, until fairly recently. Now you can go to restaurants in my state, but they're only at half capacity.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the places that have opened at full capacity, they ended up having to shut down again. So,
oh no, yeah, that's bad. So I think people can only imagine, but in Germany it was like this from mid-March to beginning of May, mid-May, hair salons and restaurants were basically closed. And then they reopened them, but step by step, you know, with writing down your name and address in case of something happens, and with distance and everything. So in Germany, they did everything pretty quick, and it seemed to be all okay. But of course, I definitely will not write down my real name and address, so people don't need to be stupid. Just go to the restaurant and write down a fake name, just in case they use it to have your data. So, but yeah, that's how they do it. But of course, the chances that they maybe close some restaurants again, whatever, we don't know, because it could be very well now in August, maybe by November, December, when people in general get sick or get a cold, right, that they will do the same methods again. So we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That was my point in the beginning. We have no idea how it's going to go. Once flu season comes around, it could flare up again. So I think the best solution is just to be healthy and to be the best version of yourself possible. That's all you can do.
Exactly. And that drives me crazy. I heard that last time on Joe Rogan's podcast as well. And he's so right with that. Why is no government, no public speaking person who's in charge of these methods speaking about, guys, you have to exercise. This is not a joke. Yeah. Take vitamin D, drink a lot of water. Wash your hands even more, stay fit, do something to get a sweat. And nobody talks about that. They all talk about social distancing, mask, you have to do this, but nobody gets into the reason why people get sick in general, why they have a bad and weak immune system. And we don't talk about people who have a bad immune system from birth on. The normal people who are born healthy and grown up healthy, but they destroyed themselves. That's the problem. Nobody says anything about exercising.
I agree 100%. And it's my doctor has been my doctor for a really long time. And we discuss diet all the time because he's very lean and very fit as well. He's only like 10 years older than me. And I say all the time that there's a lot more medicine at the end of your fork than in any prescription bottle. So sure. Yeah, I mean, I understand that if you take, for example, I don't take many meds, but if you take, if you have high cholesterol, you take something called Lipitor in the United States. So that's just one of them. But how do you think you got that high cholesterol in the first place? You got it from sitting on your bum and eating bad food. So technically you shouldn't need Lipitor if you had exercised and eaten right to begin with.
Yeah, true. And if you have to do that, then do it. But in that process, still exercise and try to drop that weight off. It's the same when people have knee issues, back issues, and they give them surgery or on the surgery table. But the problem is that will help for a short time. Now the pain is gone. But they don't go on to the reasons why, the causes of these problems. And you didn't kill your habits with the surgery. So you just kills for a short amount of time the pain you have, but the bad habits of maybe walking with the wrong posture, feet collabing inside or outside, having anterior pelvic, all these things not working out, of course, that's one of the reasons why people have these issues and they didn't get rid of these issues. And that's why surgery is not the end solution. It's the same with the medicine, what you said.
Right. That's how I found yoga, is from back issues. Like I said, when I was younger, I was a ballerina, and it's really beautiful art, but you land on your toes a few thousand times and it really starts to affect your lumbar spine.
So did you have messed up toes or messed up feet because of that, or what?
I actually don't. My feet are good. Some of them are shot, but I didn't do it long enough. Yeah, fortunately, it's being barefoot is, I love being barefoot. Every yoga instructor loves being barefoot.
That's definitely good for the feet, because you get grounded and you learn how to activate your feet muscles and the toes and everything. And basically, I think whatever you can do with your fingers, moving your fingers separately and open them up and close them, that's what we should do also with our feet. We should be able to do that.
I do that all the time in my classes. That's funny that you say that. I call it toe yoga and foot yoga. Mm. there, that's super, that's really, really important. People don't realize the importance of that. If you take care of your feet, and you walk well and you do, you know, the heel to toe action in your walk, and you, you know, even take your fingers and put them in between your toes and wiggle your toes, you know, even for a minute or two a day, that really goes a long way. Because
at the beginning it hurts. I know that exercise at the beginning it hurts. It's like you're holding your own hands basically with fingers into the toes. You spread them and then really hold it like that. At the beginning it hurts if you never used to do that.
Yeah, it does. So, you know, just be gentle in the beginning, but definitely every listener should do this. If you take care of your feet, you shouldn't have walking problems as you age. I'm talking when, yeah, you know, like far from now, like, but you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, if you take care of your feet and you can walk, basically mobility is the number one thing I feel that pushes somebody into aging. So you can live, people live amazing lives into their 80s, 90s, even into their hundreds. And the secret is their diet and their fitness, which again, yeah, is what it all boils down to. So
100%.
Yeah, at yoga, like everybody at my studio that practices yoga, it's, they're all like ageless. It's, I'm one of the younger ones. It is. One of the instructors, I think, I believe she's 70. And I mean, she takes my 90-minute power vinyasa and it's heated yoga. It's hard.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And this is a 70-year-old woman. I know people in their 20s that would fall over taking that class.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. People like her, she's then dedicated to training and working out and whatever she does. And also when people say you are only as old as your spine is. So a lot of people have an old spine, even if they may be 20 or 30, because they don't use it. And that's what you also said with feet training and these little exercises you can do. And in general, moving your body and mobility. So key is, I find that really interesting that you do actual exercise in your yoga class with that, because I know some yogis, they do on their YouTube channels or Instagram show maybe some exercise quick, or they say sit on your toes and all that. But it's really good that you do that, because mm-hmm, once you are able to control every part of your body, and of course feet are a big part of our body and they have so many muscles and everything, so because they also have to, yeah, hold us the whole weight, and we need to walk on them. So it's crazy that people don't look at that. And also probably we'll get some feet fetish listeners because of that anyway. But why not? Do you get some of these creepy dudes sometimes because you do yoga and you most of the time you train and walk them barefoot? That one of these creepy dudes maybe messaged.
Yeah, I get tons of them actually. I had to put I have two Instagram pages and I have three actually. The one that you're my friend on is private, and then my yoga one is now private as well. Because of that reason.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I think that you could probably turn off messaging, but a lot of my friends communicate with me through Instagram, so I don't really want to turn off messaging.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't, you got to pick the lesser of two evils. It's, yeah, I get tons of them. I don't even want to get into what they send me.
That's crazy. I can only imagine. I think a lot of women out there listening can imagine that, how crazy that is, and especially in that time. And I think maybe in that Corona time, especially the first 2 to 4 weeks, it doubled probably crazy up how people thought and what they did. So it's like crazy, but I don't get it why people, and especially men, are so obsessed with feet.
You know, I don't know. I get a lot worse pictures than feet, I'll tell you.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I don't know. My feet are cute personally. I don't know. I've heard a lot of men say they hate feet too. So I don't know. I think it's either you think they're cute and you like them, you hate them, or you have like a foot fetish.
I mean, for me, it's just normal dealing with that, because in martial arts, as you also do in yoga, as soon as we're on the mat, we're barefoot, unless we do just normal boxing. But for normal boxing, you have these typical boxing boots on. But mm-hmm, other than that, whatever martial arts you do, you're barefoot. It doesn't matter if it's on a mat or if it's on a concrete floor or whatever floor it is, you're always barefoot. And so we're used to seeing that. And so it's just normal, even, body contact. Because I know a lot of people don't like really body contact, but in martial arts, you can't avoid that. And I know in yoga also as well. I mean, it depends. You can avoid it probably a little bit more than we in martial arts, but it's also, you have to have some body contact if you want to help the people, right?
Yes. I teach a lot of private lessons, and most of my students, they don't come to you because they want to become fit. They come to you because they're injured. So adjustments are a key, and they're imperative, at least to me helping, especially it's mostly back issues, as you, I'm sure you already know. That's the number one complaint that I get. And then I get knee and shoulder are the second.
The Western society problems, knees, shoulder.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah.
Well, back, it's no secret. I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm sure it's pretty high. I'd say at least 50% of Americans are overweight. I'm not sure how many are obese, but it's probably 25% of that.
Yeah, you're right. I looked it up in the stats because I was interested in that. It's crazy because even German people getting more fat and fat. So we have over 80 million people in Germany. And I looked it up. We have 20% obese people. That's 16 million people just obese. Then just crazy. Talk about other overweight people. In America, it's the same number, like 20 to 30% obese people.
It's astronomical. And, you know, so it's no secret why we have back problems. You know, we have back problems because every 5 pounds overweight you are adds 50 pounds of pressure to your lower spine. So you guys think in kilograms. So that would be about 25 kilograms of additional weight onto your lower lumbar spine.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. And so, and that's for every 5 pounds. So let's say you're 50 pounds overweight. You know, if you're 50 pounds overweight, so 10 times five. So that's another 500 pounds of pressure on your lower back. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. How can you handle that?
I don't know.
You can't even squat like that. So that's crazy. Yeah.
So actually in my yoga studio, there's a few women that come that are on the heavier side. And I know it's very hard for them, but they do wonderful in the class. And I encourage them because I'm so happy that they're there and they're doing the right thing for themselves. And I tell them, I'm like, you are doing so great. And then when we start in downward facing dog, after we stretch, I'll come and I'll adjust their downward facing dog, deepening their dog. And, you know, I try to give them extra attention because I want them to keep coming back and doing the healthy thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great because these people are different when they have these problems, but they do actually something about that. That's great. I cheer these people on because I know they want to change. It's not like these other people, they complain, but they never want to change. That's a different story.
Right. And I agree with you. And I think it takes some guts to come to, you know, in yoga, I'm going to say most of them are on the lean side. So it takes a lot of guts to come to, especially a big class, an evening or a Saturday class where, you know, there's at least probably, well, not right now because of social distancing, but in the past there is at least 20, you know, to 30 people and, you know, you're the heaviest one. It takes a lot of guts to come in and walk in and do that. So,
yeah, true.
Yeah. So I don't put them on the spot because they don't like being the center of attention. But at the end, I'm like, oh, you did this so well. And I watch their progress. I'm like, your downward dog is getting to be so much more flexible. So just try to do my little encouragements where I can, because that's really important.
Yeah, that's definitely amazing. And how did you get into yoga? I mean, we talked about that a little bit. You also had injuries and a little bit pain. So how did you get involved into yoga?
It's not a little, so I had this severe back injury. I was almost like laughing when, not laughing at you, but just laughing when you were saying with back that people don't take care of their back, but I took care of mine, but I have bad genetics. My grandmother had a terrible back as well. And then as a ballerina landing on your toes a few thousand times, my back kept going out. So when I was 23, believe it or not, my back went out so badly that I had to use a cane. I couldn't walk anymore. This is a 23-year-old woman that was thin. So, yeah.
But did you have a strong glute back then, strong booty?
Yes. I was a ballerina not that long before that. So it was just my back just went out. It just it couldn't deal with it anymore. So I ended up having to see a neurosurgeon, and I had 4 herniated discs from L3 to S1. that's bad.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I had to have surgery. I did not have fusion, thank goodness. I would never allow anyone to fuse me. But I had to have the disc cut and moved into place. I basically have no discs between L4 and L5 anymore, which is fine. When I had the surgery, 2 years later, I ended up going to a pain specialist for injections in my lower spine because it started to hurt again. And the pain specialist said, listen, I'll fix your back. I'll put in the cortisone injections, but you need to swim or you need to do yoga, and you need to do them religiously. And that's the only thing, one or the other, and or both. And that's the only thing that's going to stop your back from hurting. I'm like, that's it, huh? He's like, that's it. He's like, so pick one. I'm like, I look at him. I said, well, aren't you supposed to lie to me and kiss my butt and tell me, you know, like, so I can keep coming in every couple of years for injections? And he laughed at me. And he said, actually, my wife is a yoga instructor. And I said, you know, I was a dancer.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, I said, and he was brilliant. He's Asian, so it's, he had like a dual degree. He was a medical doctor and he also had his PhD. He's just so brilliant. And he was just so wonderful. And he was really into Western and Eastern medicine. That's why I brought up the fact that he was Asian and spoke fluent Mandarin as well. I just really liked him. Everything about him was wonderful. So he recommended yoga. He said, I've watched my patients and yoga has helped them more than I ever could. This is somebody that has, you know, their PhD and their medical degree.
And well, so, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then I took a yoga class and I remember looking around. I'm like, God, all you people are so weird. They're all talking about organic stuff and like being one with the earth. And now like 15 years later, I'm completely that person.
Well, sometimes that happens. If you have great influence, then you start doing the same things. And yoga is definitely a great tool to help you in life.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's gotten my back to stop hurting. And now I
can... That's perfect. When did you notice, okay, I'm doing, for example, yoga now 6 months. Okay, now my back doesn't hurt anymore. When was the time frame where you said, okay, now I feel good?
Well, I was very patient and it took a while. So when I started practicing, my lower back was so bad again that in yoga, we have something called upward facing dog or a cobra or bhujangasana. I just used every word that we call it so everyone would know. It took me a year to be able to press up into upward facing dog because my lower back was that bad. I used to do Sphinx pose. So that took a year for me to be able to press up, but it wasn't a race. It was more like a crawl. You know what I mean? So I just took my time so I didn't injure myself again. That was my fear. So then once I pressed up, I was ecstatic I could do that. So that took a year for me to pop up into wheel, probably took about 8 years of practice. You know what a wheel is? You know, the Urdhva Dhanurasana, where you press up. That took about 8 years for me to do. And now I can drop into a wheel from standing. So if that's amazing. Not a miracle, I don't know what is. I mean, this is somebody that couldn't even walk at one point.
Barely. Yeah, that's and you hear these stories all the time. People could walk and then suddenly did a different exercise and different sports and suddenly they're so good and such a great shape. That's really amazing.
It is amazing. So I preach it to everybody. And I think that when you're passionate about something that shines through, and people can see that. So I truly believe in yoga and the miracle that it does, not only for your body, but mind, body, spirit. It's changed me more than anything else ever has.
Yeah, it's definitely a very, very big topic to talk about. So with the mind as well, because I don't think a lot of people talk about yoga and the mind. So I think we can definitely talk next time more into details specifically about that. But you also have another thing. You do Facebook shopping or sell clothes on Facebook. Is that right?
Yes, I do.
So tell the people quick how you do that and maybe you can give some advice.
Okay. So this is a good story too. Everything is a good story. So I'm an entrepreneur and a yoga instructor. And a few years ago, I was flipping houses as a real estate investor. When I was waiting for my idiot properties to sell, like literally, I mean, we're talking every single penny I had was tied up in these houses. So I didn't have enough money for groceries. Okay. That's how bad it gets. But you know, you don't know until you try. So when I was waiting for my properties to sell, I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I can like sell clothing and, you know, I'll do that. And at the time, LuLaRoe was really big. It's still really big now, but it was huge back then, or it was starting to get huge. So I ended up deciding to sell LuLaRoe, which in my, which in the United States is like a direct sales, like almost like a multi-level marketing company. So I started doing that. I ended up meeting two girls on Facebook, and we run, we opened these large groups called like multi-consultant groups. So our biggest group has 50,000 people. So that's
wow,
where,
that's a lot.
Right. So you can, as a consultant, because there's more consultants than just myself, you can go and you can upload all of your clothes that you have. Everyone has different sizes, different prints. That's the fun thing about LuLaRoe is trying to find your desired print in your desired style in your desired size. It's kind of a challenge. So we opened these large groups, and then basically we had 10 of them at the height of our time. And so I would upload all my inventory and to our groups and to my own Facebook group, my private one. And then, 80,000 people would have access to it. So I would wake up and I would have 20 sales, on my software. And then I have to just send them an invoice and that's it. Basically, I had 20 sales by doing nothing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And that was my passive income. So then that business ended up exploding and I ended up making really a ton of money with it. So I stepped back from real estate investing for a while just to get away from the stress of it. But I'm looking to get back into that soon. So, yes, but so guys, with anything, it's not just the Facebook groups. It just have a little faith and just take the leap. I'm not saying to quit if you have a great job that, you know, you have healthcare.
Do it as a side hustle. I would always do it as a
right.
side
yes.
hustle.
Yes, go for a side. Go, exactly. Go for the side hustle. So I used to work for Solar City. I worked on the sales and engineering team. Then I started flipping houses. When that started to take over, I left Solar City. But then when I was waiting for my properties to sell, I needed money. So I started LuLaRoe and that business exploded. So I owe a lot to that company. That's at one point, like that was, happily married. And that was like the main income at that time because I made so much money doing it.
Well, that's amazing.
It really is amazing. I couldn't believe it. Like I figured, oh, you know, I'll just get, you know, another $500-$600 a month. That would be perfect. We get groceries and like a little bit extra. And then it ended up being much, much more than that. So it take a leap of faith, guys. And, you know, always be learning. That's really important. Always look to other people that know more than you. If you're the smartest person in the room, you have to change rooms.
True.
Yeah. Like I'm going to send him this podcast. I don't know if he'll listen to it, but one of the smartest people I know, and I don't want to shout his name out on it. but he's just so brilliant. And I'm honored that he chose me to be his friend, but I run things by him all the time. Financial questions. He's a really successful.
Oh, that's amazing. You always need to have these kind of people. I always love to have people like that around me. And I have also a few people like this who have big knowledge in different areas. And I just like to get the knowledge because it's amazing. I don't want to stay on one spot. I always want to evolve.
It's absolutely, that's the key. Always be open-minded, be willing to evolve and take a chance. And what's the worst that can happen? It's failing. And I hate the word failing. It's not failing. It just means it's another chance to get up and try it again.
True. 100%. That's great advice what you can give to people. So we have already two big topics for the next podcast to discuss more into details, because I'm sure people will hit me up and ask more about the yoga and mind thing and more about the shop and how you do it. So it's definitely okay. Amazing. Thank you so much, everybody out there listening, and for the support. And especially thank you so much, Jennifer, for tuning in and for, yeah, just taking your time with me.
Oh my gosh, Khalid, thank you so much for having me. And I was a little nervous. I've never actually done a podcast before. And then all I did was talk for the whole time. So I don't know what I was nervous about.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I'm like all nervous. And then I get on, I'm like, what am I nervous about?
So true. That's amazing. Yeah. For me, it's always also like that. I'm never really nervous because I know what's the worst thing that can happen. I just talk when it doesn't fit. Okay, then it doesn't fit. That's it. But I know there's one thing. If I can do it very well, then it's talking to people or interviewing people. That's what also a lot of people said to me. So I just, love to stay active, love to stay there and help the people and do the podcast. So again, thank you so much for your time and everybody out there listening, and talk to you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thank you so much.